say the shocking episode of PMK.
That's right. I'd go on a job with the electric company and work on live power lines. Then we light up a house by generating our own power.
Who would actually volunteer to stand in the path of a lightning bolt? How about me? It's enough to stop your heart and start it again.
Electricity is driving today's show.
Stand by for a high voltage blast.
Ow! It's Popular Mechanics for Kids.
And this aluminum ball on a stand is called the Van de Graaff generator.
It's basically an electron elevator. It's literally pulling electrons out of the ground right now. Stand by to become negatively charged.
When I stand on this platform and put my hand on the ball, the electrons accumulate in my body.
Since electrons are negatively charged and negative charges repel from each other, what you're seeing is her hair trying to get away from her head, but I'm on the ground. Electrons go right through us and back into the ground.
You're seeing static electricity.
It's like when you rub your feet on your carpet. You're pulling electrons out of the rug and up into your body.
Then when you touch certain things, you get a shock, except this is more extreme.
And that's what lightning is, an extreme buildup of static electricity.
In case you're wondering, this doesn't hurt. The electric current isn't strong enough.
Hey, where'd she go?
Where Benjamin Franklin was born. Franklin discovered a lot about electricity and lightning, mostly by using a kite like this one. But his kite never actually got struck by lightning while he was holding it. He would have fried. Let's pretend a thunderstorm was moving in. Do you know what to do?
Well, first put away your kite and quickly go inside.
I'm not in this car because I'm afraid of getting hit by lightning. As a matter of fact, I'm on my way to get zapped. I'm in Boston, the Museum of Science, and I'm on my way to meet Larry. He works here, and he also controls this machine that makes lightning bolts. Come on, let's go check it out.
Well, Alicia, here it is. The world's largest air-insulated Van de Graaff generator.
Wow.
Yeah.
What is it?
Well, it makes lightning. Yeah, what? See, you ever play with magnets?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's got north and a south pole of magnets and how they're attracted together? Well, electricity works the same way. They're opposite charges, they're called. And what we can do is we can put a lot of what's called negative charge up in that dome.
Right.
And leave a lot of positive charge down at the bottom. Because they're opposites, they're attracted, just like the opposite poles of a magnet. We get those electric charges close enough together, and they will jump through the air and make a big spark, just like lightning.
Lightning works the same way in nature. During a thunderstorm, there are negative charges that accumulate at the bottom of the clouds, and positive charges on the surface of the earth. They attract each other. The result is a lightning bolt.
It comes down at 87,000 miles a second with the force of a billion volts of electricity. So hard, so fast through the air that it heats the air to 50,000 degrees. That is five times the temperature of the surface of the sun. So hot that the air glows brilliant, bright white. So hot that the air expands so fast, it's almost like the air explodes with this loud crack that can rumble and thunder for miles. And we see lightning and we hear thunder.
Hmm.
And it's all over in a few thousandths of a second. So actually, no, this isn't as powerful as real lightning. But this can still produce 1.5 million volts. And that's a lot. Okay, so you ready?
Yes.
Electricity always takes the easiest path, whatever that is. So to make sure that this is what gets hit, you have to make sure that this is the easiest path.
Okay.
And the easiest way to do that is to just raise this up so it's above everything else.
Okay.
Okay, you ready to do this now?
Yes.
And while you keep your hand on that metal bar, I'm going to charge up this machine. And then I'm going to strike this cage with 1 million to 1.5 million volts of electricity.
Okay.
Okay? Here we go. What actually saves you is something that a man named Nikola Tesla discovered. He called it the skin effect. What it means is that when lightning, which is high voltage, high frequency electricity, when it strikes a metal object, goes around the skin of it, the very outer surface of it, never gets to the inside.
How was that?
That was great! I'm still alive! Thank you! Thank you!
This rocket can actually force lightning out of the sky. They attach a wire to the bottom and shoot it up 900 feet to a storm cloud. Lightning gets triggered because the rocket brings the positive charges from the ground closer to the cloud's negative ones. A recipe for lightning. The lightning travels down the wire to the ground. Scientists at the University of Florida trigger lightning like this so they can learn more about it. Pretty awesome job. At this very minute, 2,000 electrical storms are raging around the world. Every second, 100 strokes of lightning zap the Earth. That's more than 8 million strikes a day.
Hey, I'm Susan. Today I want to tell you everything you've ever wanted to know about electric vehicles. The main reason for choosing an electric vehicle is you care about the environment. There's no tailpipe, so there's no carbon monoxide coming out into the environment. Most people don't think an electric vehicle could go fast, but this Ranger can pretty much keep up with its gasoline counterpart. As a matter of fact, it'd be a pretty close race. And you have to be careful around people because when you're driving up to them, they don't hear you. So you just turn the key on. Besides the bell, you wouldn't know it was on. But the vehicle was started. This is how you charge an electric vehicle. You have a power control station, which we like to call a PCS. Come over to your inlet port. Open it up, put your connector right into it, snap it down, and just hit your start button, and you're charging the vehicle. And you can listen to it, and it's just like a heartbeat in there. It would take 6 to 8 hours to completely recharge to get your full 58 to 60 miles.
We're approaching this gas station here. Let's see if we can really freak someone out.
I need my oil check. Do you think you can help me out?
Sure.
Watch this.
Taking a long time to check my oil. I think I better go right out and give him a hand.
I hate to tell you this, but this is an electric vehicle. There's no oil, there's no motor, it's electric. Sorry. I always wanted to do this.
What's top speed? What's all that stuff?
And what's this?
Did you know that the man who figured out how to record the human voice also invented the light bulb? His name was Thomas Edison.
What?
Huh? Huh?
A long time ago, a scientist named Michael Faraday put a magnet through a coil of wire and found that this made an electric current.
Cool.
Why? Everything, even your dog and sofa, contains electrons. Electrons are repulsed by one pole of a magnet and are attracted by the other pole.
Hey, look! Huh? It's the other pole!
Hey, let's get on! Yeah.
This movement of electrons is what we call electricity. So, if you moved a conductive material, like copper wire, near a magnet, the magnetic field would move the electrons in one direction. By keeping the wire moving, you keep the electrons moving. Larger industrial generators, like the ones at a power plant, rotate giant magnets really, really fast inside a ring of copper wire. The electricity it produces is carried to your house by transmission lines. The power used to rotate the magnets can be produced by gas, coal, water, wind, nuclear fission, or other sources.
Did you know that in Iceland and California, power plants use steam from underground? It's called geothermal energy. Geo means earth and thermal means heat. Below the surface of the earth lurks hot, liquid rock, or magma. It's the same stuff that shoots out of volcanoes. If there's water deep down near the magma, it's boiling hot. Sometimes the water bubbles up to the surface as a hot spring or geyser. To make use of the steam, holes are drilled and fitted with a long pipe. The steam that comes up powers the turbines. Electricity. It's powerful stuff.
I'm on a job with this power line repair crew. We're gonna change some wires, and they're live. We're not talking about the kind of wires that power your TV set or VCR. We're talking about 25,000 volts worth of wire. Just one of them could power a 10-block neighborhood. Now, what's cool is that we're not going to cut off the power, even though there's enough current running through these wires to fry you dead. That's because they don't want to interrupt power to the neighborhood.
Jay, let's go!
Here, Jay. These are special rubber gloves that protect us up to 35,000 volts.
Okay.
Now, remember, these are only 25,000 volt lines.
Okay.
Try them on and let me know how it feels.
All right. Okay. Okay, here we go. Oh, boy. Oh, nothing's going to happen.
No.
Oh. Oh, geez. My heart's at rest. It's vibrating. Oh, wow. Nothing. It felt like... Sorry, hope you're going to get your hopes up. Didn't feel like anything. What if I did this with, like, kind of rubber gloves I use in, like, in the kitchen?
You'd get fried.
I'd get fried. Okay, there you go.
So, Jay, ready to change some wires?
You bet.
We start by putting rubber tubing over the high voltage lines. That will protect us from the electric shock in case we accidentally touch the wires.
Now, I'm going to put this blanket over the insulator, because I'll be working in between two wires. Okay, so I gotta untie my wire so I can do my transfer.
Is there a chance the wire could fall off on us while you're moving it?
No, it's gonna be put in this hydraulic arm. This is in order to transfer this line onto this new pole here. And so we got what we call a top pin and a new insulator. Jay, will you give me the top pin?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Okay, we're gonna put in the insulator.
Okay.
And the insulator prevents the wire from coming in contact with the pole, or else it would catch on fire. Okay, now we're gonna transfer this wire onto the insulator.
Okay.
All right?
Yeah, here we go.
Here we go.
Okay.
There we go.
Ta-da!
Now we're gonna tie the wire.
Oh, jeez. How do you do it? Oh, come on. Was it that bad?
Oh, well.
Ron, you devil, you Superman. That's it.
That's it.
Thanks, Ron.
All right.
And we just fixed the wire.
Thanks for a job well done, Jake.
Thank you very much.
You can thank the sun for this free show. It's called Aurora Borealis, or Northern Lights. What you're seeing are electrically charged particles from the sun getting trapped in the Earth's magnetic field. Gases in the atmosphere, like oxygen and nitrogen, are what make them glow red, green, blue, and violet. The best views are near the North and South Poles.
Here's a good idea for using electricity. I see my production people also have good ideas. Now, say you want to put something up on a wall or a post. Sometimes it can be kind of hard to get the screw in. Now, I would never buy a magnetic screwdriver like this one. It costs more than a regular one, so I'd rather suffer. But if I were relaxed enough to think of it, I could magnetize my regular one. I would just take some copper wire
and wrap it around the screwdriver. Then I would connect one end to the positively charged node of the battery, and the other to the negative charge. Careful, the wire does get hot. Now there's electrical currents flowing through these wires, which creates a magnetic field. The metal core in the center, my screwdriver, becomes an electromagnet. Powerful electromagnets are strong enough to lift really heavy objects, like scrap metal. The longer the wire you wrap around your screwdriver, and the higher the voltage of the battery, the stronger your magnet will be. It works! See? Here, why don't you try this? Sure. Thanks, Charlie. Bravo. Woohoo!
See that? It's the fastest kind of train in the world. It runs on electromagnets. When the power is on, a magnetic force propels the train so it levitates above the track. That way, it can swish by quietly at speeds up to 250 miles or 400 kilometers an hour. Look at the electric eel. It uses electricity to protect itself and to stun its prey.
We also have electricity running through our bodies. This machine is measuring the electric signals that make my muscles move. The harder I squeeze, the more electricity I generate.
The heart is one big muscle. Electricity makes it contract. That's how it beats. This EKG machine reads the electric signals from my heart. This picture of what the electric currents are doing shows doctors and nurses if my heart's beating normally.
Here we are in the emergency room. It's 9 in the morning. It's going to be a busy shift, so come on along. It's going to be electric.
This advanced patient collapsed outside, apparently was in car, complaining of chest pain, possible cardiac arrest.
Charge. What do we have on the monitor? AFib. Can you charge it up?
300 joules.
All right, sinus rhythm. The heart is all about electricity, but sometimes the electricity is disorganized and the heart doesn't beat. We need to pick up the electrical signals from the heart from the patient's skin. And to do that, we have to amplify them because the electricity that makes it to the skin is very weak. This gel helps us to do that because it helps us conduct electricity and send the signal down the wire and onto our cardiac monitor where we see it on a graph. There's a little pacemaker in the heart, and it organizes the electricity of each individual heart cell. However, if that pacemaker isn't working, then each cell beats on its own, doesn't work together. And so the heart beats like a bag of worms, and no blood goes around the patient's body, no oxygen gets to the patient's brain. The heart muscle doesn't know what to do. We need to reorganize that electrical signal again. And we do that by sending a big jolt of electricity to the heart all at the same time and get the heart muscles all working in unison again. When we use a defibrillator, we need a positive electrode and a negative electrode because the electricity has to travel from one to the other. And it travels through the heart on its way from the positive to the negative electrode.
Can you guess what this is? How about now? Is that better? We're looking at sugar through a scanning electron microscope. It can magnify something up to 200,000 times its size. Pretty good for checking out the hair on the eyes of a fruit fly, or if you want to read between the lines in the newspaper. Instead of using light to examine things like a regular microscope, it uses electrons. It shoots an electron beam onto the surface. When the electrons hit, they bounce off the specimen. A detector catches the electrons and converts them to detailed pictures like this. This house has been without electricity for days. You can't watch TV. Forget about surfing the net. And so much for nuking last night's dinner. And it's not because I didn't pay their electrical bill either. They don't have one. This house generates its own electricity from a windmill, or at least it will, in just a little while.
Hey, Jay, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good.
How about giving us a hand with our new windmill?
This is all there is?
Yeah, just one box, and we're going to put it together.
Okay. So the wind makes these blades spin, and as they spin...
Well, this big blue magnet spins around these windings. In the windings, an electric field is produced, which makes current flow, and the electricity is sent to the house.
The windmill is attached to this 75-foot tower, which we're going to raise with the help of this. A 1952 Army truck.
Okay, let's go now, Jay, slowly. Okay, keep coming, keep coming. Okay, steady. Okay, slow down now, we're almost there.
There it goes, Jay.
Okay, there we go.
So, now, would using energy from this cost more or less than using energy from, say, the power grid?
In general, it costs more, but if you're building a brand new home in a remote location, it's going to save you money. But if you already live in the city, there's no sense converting. Want to go fire it up?
Of course I want to go fire it up. Let's go.
Time for us to power down. You know, we need electricity to produce PMK. Without it, the show would look pretty cheap.
It would sound boring.
In fact, there'd be no sound at all.
Read my lips. Alicia, the camera might need to lift up your voice.
Oh, I can fix that. Bye.